This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome onto this edition of the Kona Edge. My name is Brad Brown. Thank you for joining us today. It's good to have you with us, and we're going to chat some swimming with a returning guest, Colin O'Shea, today. He's a monster in the water, and there's some really good advice, particularly if you're an out-and-out newbie and you are either starting out in the sport of triathlon or you have to learn to swim. I think you are going to get a ton out of this podcast. There's lots of little nuggets for you to pick up along the way. So, yeah, I really think you are going to enjoy this one. Before we get into the podcast, though, don't forget that this episode is brought to you by Audible.com. I'm taking it that if you listen to podcasts, you would really enjoy audiobooks. I know I do. And for someone who's pressed for time, sitting down and reading a book, as much as it would be amazing, it's just one of those luxuries as a dad and having three kids and a wife and working really hard. I just don't get time to read. So audiobooks for the win, I can tell you that much. And if you sign up for a free 30-day trial with Audible right now, I'll throw in the first ebook absolutely free on me. All you need to do is head over to thekonaedge.com/book. That's B-O-O-K is the URL to get to. And there's some amazing triathlon books if you're into reading tri books. Recently picked up Chrissy Wellington's story. Fabulous. And it's available right now. So if you haven't read it yet, I'll tell you what, why don't you go check it out on me, absolutely free. Just head over to thekonaedge.com/book. Welcome back onto this edition of the Kona Edge. Time to chat some swimming, and we're joined once again in Singapore by Colin O'Shea. Colin, welcome back onto the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Brad. Thanks for having me on again.
Colin, you come from a conventional and a competitive swimming background. We always joke about it, but that's half the battle won in triathlon. If you've got that background, it makes your life a lot easier.
Yeah, totally. It helps a lot, and it just takes some of the anxiety out of the sport. You know, we see here in Singapore, when first timers are coming to the sport, one of the big issues is the ability to actually complete the race distance in the swim portion of the triathlon.
Absolutely. Colin, one of the sort of big things that we spoke about in our first chat with regards to, sort of having that swimming background and how much easier it does make your life is we're almost flippant about it. But as a swim coach, you must work with a lot of athletes coming into the sport who either can't swim or are very poor swimmers to start with. What are some of the big mistakes you see sort of newbies coming in that don't have that swimming background making?
Yeah, so I think the first mistake we see is, you know, just having improper alignment in the water. So very first thing is when I see somebody swimming up and down the pool, their hips are dropping and their legs are dropping to the bottom of the pool. So I suppose the one way definitely to see this is if somebody does an open water swim with a wetsuit and without a wetsuit, those that are, you know, particularly poor with their alignment will have so significantly better times with the wetsuit on. So my job is really number one to get that alignment better. So I use snorkels a lot to do that, you know, getting the head down, the hips come up, getting them to teaching them how to kick. A lot of people just don't know how to kick. And, you know, people always ask me and say, OK, Colin, why are you getting me to kick? I don't need kick for propulsion. And, you know, that's partially true. You know, we're not going to kick our legs like mad during an Ironman leg swim, but we need them to stay up on top of the water. So, you know, you don't sink and you can fully utilize your arms and also minimize resistance and minimize drag. So I work on that. And, you know, then we just give them the belief, you know, and we tell them session by session, you know, various and different things, you know, how to work the recovery, how to work the underwater stroke. You know, we take it one step at a time. We don't fill their mind with, you know, 10 things they need to learn at once, because that can totally confuse somebody. And once we do that, it's generally pretty good in the progress.
Because you make such an important point there. Swimming is such a confidence sport that I mean, even as a good swimmer, and you mentioned your experience in Kona where you got swum over because you lost your goggles. It doesn't matter how good a swimmer you are. If you take a knock like that, your confidence takes a beating. So the next time you get in the water, you're not so sure of yourself. And for a lot of new swimmers, that is the key, is taking it in baby steps, so to speak, but building on small gains constantly.
That's right. And I think, you know, it's very important to build that perception in the water as well. Get in there multiple times a week. So, you know, people ask me sometimes, oh, is it good just to do 1-3-4K set a week as opposed to, you know, three sets of, you know, 1.5 to 2K? You know, and I'd always prefer them to go in and hit the pool multiple times. So, you know, with some of my athletes, you know, certainly doing the Ironman side, I will get them to do, you know, the 4 or 5K swims. But, you know, on some days where they have bike runs, they might just have a lunchtime swim of, you know, maybe 2 to 2.5K, just to spin the arms over and just to keep that feeling in the water. And, you know, I really do find, you know, if a swimmer is doing 2 swims a week, that's just not enough. I just don't really see people improving. If they do 3 swims a week, depending on where they're coming from, you can see some level of improvements for sure. But when you move it up to 4, and even if the 4th session is only 20 minutes or a half an hour, it really, really does make a difference. And I had some Ironman athletes like that, where one of my guys was saying, hey, Colin, you know, I can't do the ultra long sessions, but every lunchtime I can go into the pool and I can do 40 minutes. So I said, oh, cool. Okay. So I gave him lunchtime sessions every day and his swim time came down quite significantly. So it's really just working, you know, I work with each athlete and just see, you know, what fits in with their parameters, but also I just try and tell them that they need to be hitting the water as much as possible. But also thinking about technique every time they get in the pool. So, you know, another example of this is I had an athlete doing a swim test this week. And last week, you know, she was really, concentrating on her cadence and increasing the cadence. So we really just said, just think about the stroke, push back, you know, the whole way back, utilize the whole stroke, be more efficient in the water. And the cadence was down in the swim test, but her 1K swim time, you know, we got a 1 minute improvement there from the previous time. So, you know, I think, you know, it is the mental side. It is the number of times you're in the pool, but, you know, most importantly, every session you get in there, you got to think about the drills your coach has given you. Think about your technique and how you can improve yourself as a swimmer.
It's probably a difficult question to ask for you because you've been around the sport for so long, but is there one thing that you can put your finger on that you think you've done in your career that's really improved your swim and sort of moved the needle?
I think it's probably a doggy paddle drill. So, you know, I use that with a snorkel. I put a snorkel on, put a pull buoy in the back, and then just do the underwater stroke and keep repeating that. You know, another way you can do it is if you have a bunch of stretch cords just on the side deck of the pool, and you basically pump you do the underwater stroke. But, you know, the key in doing this is you don't have the elbows flailing out. So think of a tricep press down. That's the back end of the stroke. You're standing up, you're doing that tricep press down in the dip, or you're just pushing yourself up from the water. That's what you want. You just want that delivery through the back of the stroke, and you want the full stroke when you're swimming. So, you know, that's what I think about a lot when I'm in the water. You know, I think the other thing is the kind of difference between pool swimming and open water swimming, and some of the drills we give people for that.
I was going to ask because, I mean, I'm guilty of this. I only do pool swimming, so I get out race day. It is a different, you're still swimming, but there are some nuances with regards to open water that you don't pick up in the pool.
Yeah, exactly. And I was with a group last night, and, you know, you have to, you know, number one, look at the open water environment. So, you know, the currents could be huge. They could be moving left to right. So, you know, if the currents are moving left to right, the buoy's on your left, or the ropes on the way out are on your left, you need to make sure you're sighting quite frequently, or else you're just going to be 100, 150 meters out from the end buoy when you're coming to turn. So, you know, I do a lot of work with people just on sighting, just on proper entry into the water, you know, just getting through the waves. You know, a lot of people in here in Singapore, we don't really have very rough waters. There's not a lot of high waves. And then if you're going doing competitions, let's say down in Australia, South Africa, where the waves might be higher, it's just how to effectively duck dive under a wave. You know, some people just don't have those skills. The same thing when you're riding waves back in and when to actually come up out of the water. You know, so you swim right to the shore, rather than, you know, standing up at waist level and trying to wade through deep water. It's like trying to wade through treacle. So, you know, and that really tax people. I think the final thing is, you know, unlike the bike in swimming, you can draft off people. So you can, you know, you can sit in people's legs. That does save people time. So if you're a middle of the pack swimmer, that's an effective way to reduce your effort.
Brilliant. Well, Colin, it's been great catching up once again. I look forward to talking about your bike next time out. Thanks for your time today on the Cone Edge.
Pleasure. Thanks, Brad.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.